You kids get to bed, I get the storybook. Y'all tucked in? Here we go. Once upon a time.
Welcome to hour three of The Truth with Sherwin Hughes. We're going all over the place today. It's just disappointing that far too many of us still don't understand how they operate, and we believe that if we change and modify our behavior, that that's going to lead to a change and a modification of theirs. It's the opposite. When we change and modify our behavior to whatever they want black people to be, what I don't even know what it is because I don't care, but whatever they want us to be, whatever their stereotype is of what a black person is supposed to be, and whatever, they also don't want us to talk about our history, which is problematic. You can have a great group of white friends. Sit them down and ask them what they know about Juneteenth or what they know about Black History Month. They're going to give you all sorts of disgusting, horrendous stereotypes. But, oh, no, why are you talking about that stuff? Why are you bringing up, oh, look at you. Your hair hanging out with us. That's what your white friends will say to you. And we're like, all right, fine. You're right. I don't need to know anything about my history. But you can't graduate from a goddamn high school in this country if you don't know theirs. See, that's a fundamental difference. But we think that if we change our behavior and we act a certain way, whatever that is, because the goalpost moves, how we're supposed to dress and whatever, how we're supposed to talk. We have a debate over whether African-American vernacular English is a thing or not. But whatever it is that we're supposed to do to accommodate them, that doesn't mean that they become less racist. That's proof that their system is working on us. And we have acclimated to them. Why would they change anything? Why would they say, you know what, maybe we need to be more culturally sensitive, or maybe we need to have a little bit more empathy for the atrocities that have been committed a lot of times in the name of God or in the name of whiteness or in the name of whatever political party to further strain African-American progress? They're never going to look inward. Why would they have to? If we continue to change to accommodate them, they don't have to even look themselves in the mirror, which, you know. It is what it is, ladies and gentlemen. It is what it is. Timberland boots! This may be the best example for the argument. Timberland's famous wheat-colored work boot wasn't exactly originally conceived as black urban fashion. It was marketed as rugged footwear for construction workers, outdoorsmen, and blue-collar consumers. Then something happened that Timberland didn't orchestrate. During the late 1980s, and especially in the early 1990s, young black and Latino consumers in New York began wearing Timberlands as street fashion. Rappers followed. Groups such as the Wu-Tang Clan and Boot Camp Click helped turn the boot into an unofficial uniform of East Coast hip hop. Timberland executive Jeffrey Schwartz, you already know what that last name, acknowledged years later that the company initially didn't understand what was even happening. He recalled learning that teenagers were wearing the boots as fashion and essentially responding by saying, "They're doing what?" That's how it's written. "They're doing what?" He said the company didn't really understand hip-hop's relationship with Timberland until roughly 1994 or 1995. More importantly, there was genuine tension. In 1993, Schwartz told the New York Times that Timberland's advertising remained focused on its traditional customers and characterized the urban market as something the company didn't regard as necessarily sustainable. His remarks generated accusations that Timberland wanted the money from black consumers without having them define the brand. Ah, I got to stop right there. Because we adopt something without the permission or without marketing from the original company, okay? Timberland didn't advertise in black media. They didn't advertise in the Source magazine and other avenues where hip-hop connoisseurs were getting their information. They weren't doing that. We found Timberland and it became a part of our culture, but then we get mad when black people are not the face of Timberland. Timberland never wanted black people to be the face. It's construction workers and blue-collar workers and outdoorsmen. That's the part that is perplexing to me. We will arbitrarily pick a white brand and make it ours. It'll be on our culture, on our music, and then get mad when the curators of that brand don't make us the face of the brand. Because that's a calculated risk, because you have to wonder, okay, can we gamble on this urban market sustaining us forever? Let's say the Timberlands said, you know what, we're going to be the Black Boot. We're going to embrace hip-hop, and we're going to come out with new fashions and new styles, and we're going to hire, you know, hip-hop artists to design Timberland boots from now until eternity. What if Black culture changes and Timberland says, you know what, we went with the urban culture, you know, Black people adopted our boots, we're going to make Black people the face of our boot, but then what if Black people stop buying Timberlands in favor of another brand? At the same time, Timberland would have sacrificed their original customers that they probably spent millions and millions of dollars trying to curate. So you sometimes can't do both. You can't have a boot, as an example, Timberlands, that caters to construction workers, outdoorsmen, and blue-collar consumers, and then have the shoe being featured in a Biggie video, because those construction workers, outdoorsmen, and blue-collar consumers are going to say, oh, Timberlands are not for us anymore, and they will then go find another brand. Timberland has to be willing to risk their original market in favor of one that is, let's just say, inconsistent. Now, if hindsight being 2020, it may have been a good gamble for Timberland, but they weren't willing to take it. So if we... like a location in the city of Milwaukee like The Garage, and I didn't know that The Garage was any kind of like official mecca for Black hip-hop. I come to find that out in light of recent events, right? And because The Garage didn't reach out to the Black community and say, hey, we really want Black hip-hop artists. We're going to play African-American-centered cultural music here. We want Black consumers. Because The Garage didn't do that, they did not. We just happened to pick that place out of many and made it a mecca for our hip-hop artists and for the music to be played, et cetera. But if the original owners didn't want that and the original owners say, you know what, we're going to change direction or we're not going to play some of this music anymore because you might be turning away some of our traditional foundational customers. The Garage and the Hi-Hat have been open for a very long time, ladies and gentlemen. The phenomenon of African-Americans now going there is relatively new. So you have to think about the customers who have been keeping that place open for, let's say, the last 35 or 40 years. Is it worth it? You got to ask yourself this question. Now, take race out of it, take culture out of it, take all that stuff out of it. Is it worth it to sacrifice your foundational customers for a new customer that might be here today and gone tomorrow? That's a business decision. Remember, businesses can't plan day to day. They can't live check to check. Businesses have to plan decade to decade. And if you sacrifice and say, you know what, Black people are coming to The Garage, and, you know, they're spending money here, let's double down on the Black community. And you invest in Black media because you're making a choice. You're taking a risk. You're going to screw and just overlook and get rid of your traditional foundational customers, which were probably white Brady Street dwellers. You're going to say, screw you, white people that have made us successful and allowed us to be in business for 30 years. We're going to double down on this new Black consumer group. And then there's a shooting the very next day. And your white customers like, we're not coming back. You traded us for this new Black, younger, urban element. That's a stupid decision for a business to make. You always stay with your foundation of who made you successful in the first place. Now, if you get diverse customers, if they gravitate towards your space, I think you can pat yourself on the back because you're doing something right. But you don't want to trade your traditional foundational customers for these new folks that basically came essentially out of nowhere, or that are relatively new arrivals. It's like the United States saying, you know what? Bunch of Mexicans are over here. Screw it. Everybody speaks Spanish. We're going to double down on the Spanish language because a whole bunch of Mexicans and people from Argentina and South America and Central America and Costa Rica and Guatemala and Nicaragua, they're all coming to the United States. Screw it. School lunches in America are now going to serve tamales. America ain't going to do that. Now, America may accommodate other people, other nationalities, and other races, but we're not going to double down on them. It's the same thing, and it's common sense. I don't blame Timberland, because sometimes with our cultural elements, there comes the downside. And the two artists that are, I would argue, most responsible, or at least the two artists that Timberland looks at as really elevating their brand in Black culture and the Black community are Tupac, because the videos and the pictures that I have here in this article show Biggie. Everybody in Biggie's crew in this picture right now I'm looking at are wearing Timberlands. There's another picture of Biggie where he's, I think this is in the One More Chance video. He's wearing Timberland boots in that video. And then there's a picture of Tupac in the middle. Now, here's the thing about that. Imagine if Timberland said, you know what? Screw it. Let's double down on hip hop. Let's double down on Tupac and Biggie. Let's make them brand ambassadors. Both of them were murdered. That don't make your brand look good. Think about that. If Timberland said, no, screw it. We're going to go with this new, this urban ethos. And we're going to support rappers. And we're going to feature, you know, our Timberland boots on all these hip hop videos. And the two rappers that are most responsible for Timberland being elevated in Black culture have been murdered. That, you know what I mean? That's not a good look. And why would you want to trade your traditional customer of the outdoorsman, the blue-collar worker, and the construction worker for hip-hop artists? Because sometimes hip-hop artists get murdered. And people can say, it was Timberland boots that they were wearing when they were murdered. That don't make the brand look good. Sometimes Black people are a risk. But we know that as Black folks. We sometimes don't take risks on Black consumers because Black consumers are very, very fickle. We will change our mind on the drop of a hat. Think of anything that was popular even 5 years ago, even 10 years ago, that Black people just loved. It could be a liquor brand. It could be a clothing brand. What were we doing 10 or 15 years ago? What were we wearing? I bet you we're not still wearing some of that same stuff now. We weren't wearing Balenciaga like that back then. What's the one? Birkin bags. Those are insane. Goyard, we wasn't wearing Goyard like that 10 to 15 years ago. Mason Margiela shoes that cost $2,000 and they're ugly. We wasn't wearing that stuff. So doubling down on the Black consumer is a calculated risk because we will change our mind and go in a different direction in 6 months. Even our music. We don't really make, and some of you will argue with me on this, classic hip-hop doesn't exist anymore. I can play music, and I've been playing music on today's show, some of which is almost 50 years old that got your heads nodding, and this is 50 years old. It's hip-hop songs that came out last summer that nobody's even listening to anymore. None of this stuff is classic anymore. Nothing is classic. Everything is throwaway. This is a consumer economy. Something will be hot for a single summer. Here, I'm going to give you a better example. I got examples. I like examples.
Kendrick Lamar?
I forgot all about Kendrick. Kendrick was real hot when he was dissing Drake. Now Drake has a 3-album comeback.
But his music is classic.
It's probably the best example of classic that we have from this modern era. But it's not going to compare to anything that I play. It's not going to compare to an LL Cool J, a Run DMC, a KRS-One. He may be one day mentioned amongst the greats, but it will never be considered classic like some of the stuff. I could play Afrika Bambaataa and Planet Rock and all the other stuff. Even 30 years from now, that stuff is still going to be solidified as some of the best music ever created. Kendrick Lamar will make it to that status. Of the modern era, he's probably the best that there is, but even right now, I think his star has faded a little bit. But like here, where's the song at? This song right here.
Okay.
They go crazy for this song right now. Next summer, no one is going to be listening to this because basically this song sucks. I mean, it doesn't suck that bad. But like, this is an example of that throwaway music. Like, it's hot right now, temporarily. And what's going to happen is people are going to play it, they're going to play it, they're going to play it, they're going to get sick of it, and they're never going to play it ever again. Pink Blush is not going to be listed amongst the classics. But that is the risk that you take with Black culture. Some of it is so here today, gone tomorrow. Some of the Black clothing brands that we used to buy, especially in my era, Cross Colors. Nobody wears Cross Colors anymore. Nobody wears Fat Farm anymore. Do people still wear Marc Ecko? Nope. Do people still wear Eniche? They do not. Here today, gone tomorrow. That is the nature of just modern consumerism, but also Black culture. So if you have a place like The Garage that says, you know what, let's embrace our Black customers and we'll play their music and allow the DJs to play whatever it is, there's a bunch of risks that you are taking, and sometimes those risks are not good business decisions because you are going to get rid of your foundational customers in favor of a customer base that is transient and that also can bring an element of violence. When you are a business owner, and most people that I talk to every single day are not. They're not. You instantaneously become more conservative. You almost become more conservative overnight because you got to be mindful of all of your money, where your money is, where your money is going, the fees you have to pay, the lawyers you have to hire, and the taxes that are going to be levied on the services and the goods that you provide. You instantaneously become conservative. As a consumer, you can be more liberal. But as a business owner that is risk averse, you have to become more conservative. You want to conserve what you have. You can't take unnecessary risks on something that's not going to pan out. And also as a business owner, you can't think about what's hot right now. Whatever you're doing as a business owner right now, it's got to be hot in 5 years. It's got to be worthwhile in 10 years. Or you have to be able to pivot and get ahead of trends, which is damn near impossible to do. Because some of the stuff that's popular right now, I never could have imagined 20 years ago. Never could have imagined that the things that we are responding to right now and what we are buying right now would even be popular. I look at some of the stuff that I buy on Amazon, I'm just like, what? But I love Amazon, though. You know what I bought yesterday from Amazon? A cordless vacuum. You think I'd have a cordless vacuum? I got tired of having to go to the car wash place, to the gas station, and paying $1.75 in quarters to be able to vacuum out my car. I bought it. I got a cord. I've been going around my house vacuuming everything now because I got a little cordless vacuum for my car. I'll vacuum you if you come to my house and if you look a little dusty. All right, take a break. Come back. There's a convention going on. When did my mic go out? I did? Sorry about that. Getting ahead of myself. So you guys know there's a convention going on at the Baird Center. You know, Milwaukee is a city of conventions, and we love to welcome many people here. I want to tell you who is in town because I noticed something. I don't want to be offensive. I'm not an offensive person, am I? I don't offend people. No, not really. But I noticed something yesterday at the 3rd Street Market Hall. And I looked into it because it looked a little, it looked different. Not bad, but just noticeably different. What'd you say they were? I don't know what that is. Well, I found out that there's a convention that's in town. And it's the national, I'm sorry, no. The International Jehovah's Witnesses Conference is.
Isn't one of your listeners a Jehovah?
Oh, I've got many Jehovahs. I don't know what it is about the truth for sure when he was. But okay, so what I'm going to do is this. I'm going to take a break. I'm going to come back. I want to give you guys, because it's kind of a mysterious religion. And y'all, you don't make fun of the Jehovahs. It's not funny. Don't make fun of them. They're witnesses to, obviously, Jehovah. But we don't know a lot about them because they're kind of insular. It's a very diverse religion. I come to find that out today. But there's some details about it that I think non-Jehovahs are not aware of. And because they've opted for Milwaukee, and we should be proud that the Jehovah's feel comfortable coming to Milwaukee for their international convention. There's people here, they say, from 18 or 19 different countries. So imagine a Jehovah knocking on your door in a different language. That's diversity right there. So we're going to talk about the Jehovah convention that's going to be going on at the Baird Center. And some of them have arrived a little early. I noticed some of them yesterday. I was like, you people look a little different. Not bad, but just different. So we're going to talk about the Jehovah's, but also those of you that have been listening to me with consistency may have heard me talk about a woman that I've affectionately nicknamed by her zodiac sign. I call her Scorpio. Still love her to death. Will probably always love this woman. But there's something very unique about her that makes it difficult for us to be ultimately compatible. She was a Jehovah, but left. And when you leave that religion, ladies and gentlemen, you cannot have contact with any member of your family that is still a witness. And it's horrible. Like, she had to sneak. She hadn't seen her brother in like 10 years because her brother was forbidden from even talking to his sister. So she had to, like, that to sneak and, like, go to Kansas City and go to some place where nobody would know where they were. It's horrible. And I have another very good friend who also left the witnesses that has left their family as well. And I think that this religion, as they are having their convention in Milwaukee in the coming days, is one worthy of examination. But isn't that one of the reasons why we offer the things to the diversity of people that we do in Milwaukee? So we can get a better understanding of them. But for the Jehovah's that have had the incredible courage to leave, the religious trauma that they had to endure, because it takes a lot to leave, because the risk is you're losing everybody you've ever loved. Like, mothers and fathers don't talk to their children anymore once you leave the religion. That's not nice. That isn't. That's very mean, but it's a part of the doctrine that they adhere to. So we're going to talk about Jehovah's, because you're going to see them. Now, one of my friends was not very nice, and I'm very mad at him for being very disrespectful, because he found out about the convention as well. So he sent us a group text message, and here's what the, because I get the subject line when somebody sends me a text without having to read the whole message, and it was all capital letters that said, "Don't answer the door for a week." I was like, oh no, what's happening? And that was him telling me that the Jehovah's are here. That's, they don't even knock on doors like that anymore, do they? They still be knocking on doors?
I let them inside my house all the time.
You do? I believe it.
No. Yeah.
You do it to troll them, though.
No.
Yes, you do. You ain't believing what they putting down.
Yeah, I you know, they almost converted me one time.
I know you lying. You don't even like religion. You ain't get converted by no Jehovah.
It was two beautiful women, and, you know, they almost got me.
Yeah, they almost got you, not because they was Jehovah's. They got you because you probably wanted some of that cooter cat. Jehovah's don't give up the cooter cat. You got to be in the religion and marry them, and then maybe 10 years later they give you a taste. You thought you was going to crack a Jehovah, huh?
Yeah. You know, you come to the door with the robe on, you know, let them in.
Not a robe.
That's yeah. Cool. Light some candles.
All right, I got to take a commercial break because this is getting weird. Timberland Boots! The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
I'm crazy, but I love you cause you crazy too.
Radio killer.
Red light special. Undress me under the candlelight. Turned up in this business. Watch me do it.
Jehovah's Witnesses Conference closes several downtown streets. Oh, they gonna have a party. All right, then. Let's party with the Jehovah's Witnesses. Several main thoroughfares in downtown Milwaukee are closed and will remain closed until September 1st to facilitate the 2026 International Convention of Jehovah's Witnesses Conference at the Baird Center this weekend. Now, I'm going to let y'all know some of the Jehovah's got here a little early. Don't be panicked. Don't be alarmed. They're very nice people. They might try to get you to convert, and maybe some of you would be better people as Jehovah's Witnesses. The Jehovah's Witnesses is hosting around 5,000 guests from 19 different countries for its international convention starting on August 28th through August 30th in Milwaukee. In preparation for the event, hundreds of volunteers are taking part in a city cleanup effort to, quote, thank the city for hosting the convention and prepare it for welcoming visitors, according to an August 24th news release. Hang on a second. In preparation for the event, hundreds of volunteers are taking part in a city cleanup. So wait a minute, our city's not clean enough for the Jehovah's? I've never heard of this before. I've never heard of an effort to clean up the city before a convention. Isn't it usually after the convention leaves where we do the cleaning up? What y'all trying to say, Jehovah's? We're not clean enough for you? Let me calm down. Sherwin, relax. Everybody relax. Motorists should expect the following streets to be closed to traffic daily from 7 a.m. until 8:30 p.m.? Jeez. That's going to be until Tuesday, September 1st to facilitate the International Jehovah Witness Conference. Kilbourne Avenue between 6th and Vail Phillips. North King Drive between Wisconsin Avenue and Kilbourne. That's in the middle of downtown now. Eastbound West Wells Street between 6th Street and 4th Street, which is Vail Phillips. The religious group has obtained a permit to close those city streets, according to Tiffany Shepherd, spokeswoman for the city's Department of Public Works. All right. We got to get into the Jehovah's since they're closing down a lot of the city here. With the Jehovah's Witnesses holding their 2026 International Convention in Milwaukee this week, this is a useful moment to distinguish between what Jehovah's Witnesses actually believe and what outsiders sometimes misunderstand and where legitimate controversies exist. The Wisconsin Center District lists the 2026 Milwaukee International Convention of Jehovah's Witnesses at the Baird Center. And this year's worldwide convention theme is, you ready for the theme this year of the international conference? Eternal happiness. Whew, that sounds a little scary. Jehovah's Witnesses are a Christian restorationist religious movement that began in America in the late 1800s. They believe mainstream Christianity drifted away from the Christianity practiced by Jesus and the apostles, and their organization has restored the correct understanding of Scripture. I'm going to take a break, come back. Can we get a better understanding of the Jehovah's? Because they're not just, hello? Hi, can you open the door, please? We have many pamphlets. They're more than just that. So let's learn. And we are welcoming the Jehovah's as they're having their international conference slash convention here in the city of Milwaukee, which is going to close damn near half of downtown. But I'm a little offended that they're having a volunteer cleanup before the convention actually starts. Maybe we should invite them to join the Tory Lowe cleanup in the spring. See if the Jehovah's want to come back. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be back shortly.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Milwaukee College Prep is still enrolling scholars in grades K-3-8 for the upcoming school year. With 4 high-performing campuses, award-winning educators, and a proven track record for academic success, MCP is helping more than 2,000 Milwaukee scholars build brighter futures every day. Don't wait. Seats are still available. Apply today at MilwaukeeCollegePrep.com or call 414-264-6000. 214-264-6000. Milwaukee College Prep. Milwaukee College Prep. Excellence by design. Futures without limits. Without limits. Without limits. Nobody's going to a nightclub playing this. No way. Nobody's paying money. I think I'm going to get bottle service at the old school hip-hop club. Be a bottle of Metamucil. Because you get a little backed up. You need to have fiber as we get older. selling Metamucil shots.
They have a 90s cafe in downtown.
Yeah, it ain't the same. It's a bunch of young people. It's not. And it's like, it's the stuff you would hear at like a UW-Madison frat party. That's, you're not going to hear the good stuff. There's not. Because there's no market for it. Because people that are of and from that era, because the places that we went to and the venues that we had, you can't create anything now in this modern era that would even come close to what we had some time ago that has been lost to time. You can't recreate it. You can't. And it wouldn't be worth it. It would be second rate because nothing compares to being alive and being around during that era. It was just, it's hard to explain. It was tangibly different. People were different. The attitudes of people were different. The whole culture was different. The outlook was different. There was way more optimism about what black people could become, because you got to think in that time, some of our most profound and excellent leaders were being forged in that era. And look where we're at now. It's awful. It's like we're going backwards. Can we talk about the Jehovah's, please? Because they're having their international convention in our fair city of Milwaukee. We love the Jehovah's very much. We love everybody that comes to Milwaukee, and we hope that they spend a lot of money. Do Jehovah's have money? I don't know. I guess we'll find out. Jehovah's are a relatively small but highly organized religion. The denomination currently reports about, well, that's not small, 9.2 million active members. Oh, worldwide. Maybe that is small. In nearly 120,000 congregations across 241 countries and territories. Jehovah's Witnesses consider themselves Christians, but their Christianity differs substantially from Catholicism, Baptist Christianity, Methodism, and most other Christian traditions. For example, Jehovah's reject the Trinity. They believe Jehovah alone is the Almighty God and Jesus is God's Son, but not God Almighty. They regard the Bible as inspired by God and believe their interpretation represents authentic Christianity. Practices that you all may find, it says unusual here in the article, but let's not say unusual. Practices of Jehovah's that you all may find a little bit different. Are you ready? Here we go. No birthday celebrations. Witnesses generally do not celebrate birthdays. Interestingly, they acknowledge that the Bible never explicitly says do not celebrate birthdays. Instead, they infer the prohibition from biblical accounts and what they regard as the pagan origins of birthday customs. Well, some of you that celebrate birthday month couldn't be a Jehovah. If you celebrate your birthday for a whole month, you are in fact toxic. No one cares. You know what? It's also, it's wrong. So when you turn 30, you've ended your 30th year. So you're not turning 30. You're technically, you're 31. Let me tell you how messed up this is. Xavier, when were you born, if you don't mind me asking?
1991.
What's your actual birth date?
September 18th.
September 18th. Oh, you got a birthday coming up.
Yeah, I'll be gone.
Okay. Is it, you're going to celebrate the whole month like a toxic person?
No, I plan on taking a little vacation to Arizona.
Ain't nothing wrong with it. Enjoy yourself. You deserve it. September 18th, 1991, right? That was your birth. That was your first birthday. When you turned one, you actually are turning two because you're, first birthday was when you were born. That's technically your actual birthday, but for some reason, that's not, we don't count that as your first year, even though it literally is your first year on Earth. You live your whole first year and then you turn one. Isn't that weird? Even though you're actually two. So we're all, maybe the Jehovah's have something figured out. Jehovah's do not celebrate most traditional holidays. Christmas, Easter, and numerous religious and patriotic celebrations are rejected because witnesses believe that they are pagan, nationalistic, and non-biblical. Well, that's exactly what they are. That's why we love them. No patriotic religious style rituals at all in the Jehovah's beliefs. They do not participate in flag salutes or similar patriotic ceremonies. This is based on religious neutrality rather than hostility toward America. Their position has produced important U.S. Supreme Court religious liberty cases. And we are talking about the details of the Jehovah Witnesses because I think that they are a people and a religion that is very much misunderstood. I know two people, one of which is I have deep, deep affections for, and one is another very good friend, that have made the very hard choice to leave the religion. And when they left the religion, their family has excommunicated them. Like, they can't see their mothers and their fathers anymore. They can't have regular contact and communication with their siblings and their cousins. It's really, really sad. It's hurtful, but I guess that's what happens when you leave the religion. No participation in war. Witnesses are conscientious objectors and maintain political neutrality. They do not see Christians as belonging to the political struggles of the present world. Aggressive evangelism, the door knocking for which Witnesses became famous for, from a belief that Christians have an obligation to actively preach rather than merely attend church. The Pew Research Center found that 76% of active American Jehovah's Witnesses reported sharing their faith at least weekly versus 26% of American Christians overall in the study. The blood transfusion controversy. This is probably the belief with the most serious real-world consequences. Jehovah's Witnesses interpret biblical instructions to, quote, abstain from blood as applying to medical transfusions. Therefore, they traditionally refuse blood transfusions of donated whole blood and major blood components, even when physicians believe transfusion is medically necessary to save life. There was an important change just this year. In March of 2026, the governing body announced that Witnesses may now individually decide whether their own blood can be removed, stored later, and returned to them during medical treatment. So they can only give blood to themselves? As someone who's had blood transfusions before, I'll take blood from any of y'all. If I need it, I can't have the doctor saying, Sherwin, you know, your iron is very low. And the only blood that we have is from a white racist. You know what I'd say? Yeah! I don't mind that one bit. In fact, you know what? Does the blood come with a Confederate flag? No, I wouldn't say all that. But I'm not going to let myself die. You know what I mean? Sherwin, I'm sorry, but we have a biological profile on the person who donated blood. It's the only unit that we have, Sherwin, is this unit of blood, or you're going to die. And the blood came from a transgender man.
Well, absolutely, I'll take his or her blood. Absolutely. He would be very happy that their donation has helped a man. Why don't we do this? Let's, Eastside Corey is a doozy. I'm not sure if I'm ready for this call. Yeah, let's take it. Hi, Eastside Corey. How are you? Eastside Corey going once. Just going once. That's all I have time for. In March 2026, the governing body announced that Witnesses may now individually decide whether their own blood can be removed, stored later, and returned to them during medical treatment. The broader prohibition against receiving someone else's donated blood remains. So you have to predict that you may need a blood transfusion one day and have your own blood removed and stored in case you need blood. A blood transfusion, and then you can only get your blood. But what if your blood is deficient and that you need someone else's blood? The only blood you can get is your own blood? This creates one of the religion's strongest ethical controversies. What happens when refusing blood may increase the risk of death, particularly when the patient is a baby? Witnesses argue that bloodless medicine can be highly effective and that their position represents religious freedom and obedience to Scripture. Critics argue that an organizational interpretation of ancient biblical prohibition. They didn't have blood.
blood transfusions in the ancient times. They didn't have it. So why am I yelling at the Jehovah's? I'm sorry. I just don't want you guys to need blood and just be on the table in the operating rooms. Like, no, don't give me that good blood that I need to live. Witnesses argue that bloodless medicine can be highly effective and that their position represents religious freedom and obedience to Scripture. Critics argue that an organizational interpretation of ancient biblical prohibitions can influence members to reject potentially life-saving modern medical treatment. Is it a cult? I'm going to pause there and come back and pick it up on the other side. The International Jehovah's Witnesses Convention has chosen Milwaukee for their 2026 gathering. There's going to be a number of street closures downtown, just to make folks aware, and they're going to be at the Baird Center. And I noticed that some of them have gotten here a little early because there were several of them walking around the 3rd Street Market Hall yesterday. So I thought this was as good a time as any to talk about a religion that many of us don't really know very many details about. You're listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 FM. I'll be right back.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Please report. Freakazoids. Robots.
American Family Insurance is a proud sponsor of The Truth. Having the right protection in place matters. American Family helps you stay ready for whatever life brings so you can focus on moving forward. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly with American Family Insurance. Get a quote or find an agent at amfam.com. American Family Insurance Company, SI and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin. And are you looking to discover and support local businesses in our community? Then tune in every Friday at 8 o'clock to What the Business Is, hosted by Homer Blow and Bailey Coleman. Each week you'll hear from local business owners as they share what their business is, where they're located, and one valuable lesson they've learned along the way. Don't miss What the Business Is every Friday at 8 a.m. only on Truth in the Morning, hosted by Homer Blow and Bailey Coleman, powered by We Energies, delivering the energy that powers local business. I know Eastside Corey used to be a freakazoid. Hi, Eastside Corey. How are you?
Oh, good. Can you hear me okay, sir?
I can hear you much better. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. I apologize. It's been so long since I've called you that I had to redo my phone so I could, you know, do this. So I forgot about that. This issue is very interesting. I'm glad you're discussing it, the Brady Street thing, and also the Jehovah Witnesses. Picking Milwaukee of all places, I guess they're probably having a mass transfusion party down at the convention center. I would not be surprised if that was the main element for them gathering together internationally. You know, kind of vampire-ish if you ask me, but I did see
a mass transfusion party?
Why not? Might as well.
Because they can. The only blood that they can get transfused into their bodies is their own.
Well, you got to understand that, of course, they're going to market that to their own people. So what I saw yesterday was these two big black, those vans that people that are entertainers travel in. And I was wondering, I wonder who's in town, you know, somebody big. But I think it's part of that, you know, convention attitude over by Brady when it meets Water Street, that comedy store, or whatever it's called, the double-decker place. Do you like stand-up?
Only if they're good.
Well, there's a lot of good comedians out there right now. And I like Gottfried, and I love, Chappelle. They're brilliant. Continue to be brilliant. And but what's happening, it's very interesting that what is the Tom Cruise belongs to the what group in what are they called?
Scientology. That's even
Scientology
more weird.
Is related. They have that cult element to them where if you try to leave, they separate you from your family. Well, that's a no brainer right there. That's a cult, and that's horrible.
You're not supposed
to say
nowhere
in the Bible
does
it ever say
that's the C word. You're not supposed to say the C word. They're not a cult.
Why not? Say what I want.
All right.
Then. It's always not a curse word, right?
All right, fine.
If they're listening, you know, this is the vibe they're giving, so come on now. Be what you are. Be what you are, okay? I think they're going to practice and go into neighborhoods and, you know, ding dong, hello. We're the Swedish version of, you know.
And that's exactly how they sound when they ding dong, hello.
Hello. And then we got the Africans coming, you know, the Jamaican version. I want to meet y'all. See what, because they're supposed to, the doctrine, have a very limited amount of people that are supposed to be saved during the rapture. It's only like 124 people.
Right.
So how are y'all going to have the convention? Y'all ain't going to make it. Not all of y'all. That part. You know. But to discriminate, you know, to cut off from your family, that part is so heart-wrenching.
It is.
That's really sad.
I agree.
Not necessary.
But that's how they do it. And I think that's how they encourage people to stay together and stay involved in the religion. They use that as some kind of a threat.
No.
Like, hey, if you leave, you're going to leave your entire, essentially, you're going to leave your whole community.
Well, you know, they do it on the internet. It's the same kind of philosophy, you know, the group think. But I'm an individual, and I prefer to make my own choices. And I have a direct relationship with God and Jesus and the Holy Ghost, Hunter. Every day I have my religion with God. My communication has never been better.
And
I don't need
to
go door to door. I'm a walking, you know, example of how it is to be a kind person. You know, a person of God. But recently, you know, this is a whole other angle why I was calling. I can call you on another day. I got profiled, and it shook me. This has happened 2 weeks ago. It happened at a certain place. I won't name the name.
No,
but
you're
going to
name it. No, you are going to name. Where'd you get profiled at? Hell yeah, you're going to name it.
Okay, well, it was a pharmacy,
Which one?
It wasn't Walgreens.
CVS.
Yeah.
Okay, you're walking around CVS, just being your normal, happy self.
Yay. I was a little extra, but I wasn't.
Wait,
had my headphones on.
You were extra? I've seen you wear a pink sequins tuxedo jacket.
Yeah. My whole campaign right this year has been gays and whoever you are, be more. Be more of who you are. Because it's making people really be who they are. And then I know I'm not going to deal with you. So this thing that's happening on Brady Street is like, okay, we go through this every 5 to 10 years when a new club or whatever opens up. They have to educate themselves out of business. Your business of the radio, I didn't call because I wanted to see how the chips were going to fall. And I realized something. I did a little research because you told me that radio is different. So I found out that you couldn't say anything is because you're contractual. Everyone has an individual contract that they negotiate. But the direction of your company with the blacks, y'all too successful. Look, you went to the Republican convention, and man, you scored. Your Sherwin Williams got some interviews, some national. Yeah, I mean, this is a problem in our fair city when you are too successful. My dad told me this. Milwaukee has bad poor esteem. We think we don't deserve to be first and number one in quality, but we secretly love it. But we're not supposed to tell anybody. And so,
Sherwin Williams how you were profiled at CVS though?
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah.
So, all right.
So you were just walking around the aisle, just being as gay as a Sunday afternoon, and then what happened?
It was almost closing time,
okay.
And so I had to buy a few items, and I had my headphones on, and an assistant manager, young man.
Were you dancing?
Came up to me. No.
Okay.
Nope, I was shopping because
right.
I knew that, and I thought he was coming up to tell me we're getting ready to close. Can you wrap it up? So I took my headphones off, and he says to me, I know you, and I've seen you before, and you steal. I was like, what? Now, I used to be a teacher, and so sometimes I have former students come up to me and say, hey, well, Mr. Corey. And I'm like, I don't recognize him because it's been a long time. This young man looks mixed to me. He looked like he was half of something else. He had dark, he had a nice look. But he said it in his voice, like, I was like, excuse me, what did you just say? He's like, I've seen you steal before. I'm like, I had a big floppy hat on. I said, I took my hat off. I said, are you sure it's me? And he said, yeah. I was like, well, I don't know what to say right now. I intend to pay for my items. So I'm going to go over in this aisle and I'm going to check out. Why don't you watch me? And he said, no, I don't have to do that. I was like, then I got mad.
Well, Corey, I said, 10 seconds left in my show. Okay. Can you land the plane?
All right. I don't know. When I got to the register, I made a scene. I had a scene. And I said to the lady that checked me out, I said, that young man over there says I steal. I want to see the proof. You don't have any proof? Then don't do that to the paying customers.
Well, thank you. We've got to leave it there because my radio show is
okay,
over.
Maybe.
All right, then. Corey, he just went into the CVS and it was too gay and was accused of being a thief. Thank you for listening. The lunch break is up next.